This program is a co-production of the Counterstories crew, the Other Media Group, and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This is Counterstories, a podcast by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Anthony Galloway, Executive Director of Arts Us and Senior Partner at Dendros Group.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the State of Minnesota. Any comments and opinions that I have during this podcast are solely my own and should not be attributed to my employer.
I'm Don Eubanks, recently retired social works faculty from Metropolitan State University and cultural consultant, and currently an associate of Dendros Group.
Lee Lee couldn't be with us today as she's wearing many different hats, but we today are continuing our series connecting with legislators of color and the unique perspective that they provide, particularly here in the state of Minnesota. So we have with us today Representative Carlos Mariani. If you could introduce yourself to our audience.
Hey, thanks, young brother. I appreciate the invitation to my sister Luz and my brother Don as well. My name is Carlos Mariani Rosa. I wear two big hats, I guess, in Minnesota. I'm a state representative from St. Paul, and we want to talk about that for sure. I'm also the executive director of the Minnesota Education Equity Partnership. I'm really looking forward to this talk.
So, as you know, we've been checking in with various legislators of color in a series, and so we're really excited to check in with you. And the first question I have out the gate: what has it been like being a person of color at the legislature for and as we were talking before this, you're a senior legislator in a state legislature. So what's that been like?
Short words, challenging and breathtaking. You know, we were talking just before we started here. I've served in office for many, many years. I was first elected in the 90 election. So I ran with brother Paul Wellstone, missing badly. My first session was 1991. At that time, I'm thinking there were maybe four of us, maybe five, in the entire legislature of 200 and, oh, I used to know this right off the top of my head, 201 legislators. And for many, many years, I was the only Latino legislator in the state, probably for a solid decade. There are now a couple of dozen of us between both houses. More in the House where I serve, and way more diverse. I mean, we got Somali brothers and sisters, Hmong brothers and sisters, indigenous folks, African American, Latinos, so it challenging in the very early days where it certainly felt like a pretty alienating space where, you know, much of what my experiences were, you know, pretty foreign to most of the legislators at that time, pretty heavily white male, heavily male, much more equitable now in that regard, heavily rural, isolated, you know, greater Minnesota is much more diverse now than then. And increasingly became breathtaking in that as one, you know, I learned to operate fairly well in the system, and two, as more people of color, indigenous people became members of the legislature, elected to it, it just opened up all sorts of terrific opportunities that we are now in the midst of in terms of, I believe, transforming both the culture and the processes of the people's legislature. And so a quick example of that is that under my sister Rena Moran's leadership as the chair of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee, it's probably the most important committee in the entire legislature. She has laid down the expectation that every bill that comes through that committee, which is going to be all the money bills, has a race equity purpose and explanation. And that has to be a goal of all those bills, as well as shared publicly. That's nothing short of breathtaking compared to the body that I first stepped into many, many years ago, which, by the way, my sister Luz Maria Frias was there at that time. I think Luz might have been in junior high or something at that time. Is that right?
I was. I just was coming out of junior high, and I said, let me go take a stint at the House of Representatives. all kidding aside, I helped on your campaign because I had been working already at the Minnesota House of Representatives as a policy, in a policy role, I should say. And we elected you as the first Latino in the House of Representatives at that point.
We had one individual prior to me. Wonderful man, Mexican-American, Frank Rodriguez.
That's right.
He was the pathfinder, opened up the doors for me.
That's right. Thank you for refreshing my mind on that. I mean, one of the really impressive parts here is that you were elected in 1990, and the way the legislature works with assignments, typically speaking and historically speaking, some of the most powerful committees then are given to those with the longest serving terms there, right? Not always, but typically, and we know that there's been some disruption this time around with Representative Portman, to the better, I should say. And you're currently chair of the Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform. You're also a member of the Finance and Policy Committee, as well as the Ways and Means. But I wanted to help our audience understand how important that is, that you are a chair of that committee, Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform. And I want to also have our audience understand, not only are you a veteran member with regard to BIPOC legislators, but just overall between the two chambers, you were elected in 1990, 31 years ago, and that's incredibly powerful and unique. So can you speak to those aspects?
Yeah, I mean, there's the natural power, if you will, that comes from doing something for a long period of time. It's one of the reasons why our communities respect elders the way that we do, because that's where wisdom lies. That's helpful to everyone, and that comes from deep experiences. And by the way, those experiences could easily be experiences where you're just getting your butt kicked as opposed to winning. And that's certainly an element of legislating. It's hard. Passing a law is very difficult to do.
Representative Mariani, I'm still stuck on the fact that you mentioned that Moran is chair of the Ways and Means Committee, and that every bill that comes through that committee has to pass the racial equity test. And I'm stuck on that because I don't know if people realize how huge that is. Sometimes some of us find ourselves in professional settings, like I did at DHS, where we fight and we feel like we're fighting in a vacuum, much how you described your experience, like the first 10 or 15, 20 years that you were in the House. It feels like it's a lonely battle when you're the only one at the table trying to bring that lens, trying to bring that understanding in. Because after you guys pass the bills, it gets passed to us. We then have to interpret and create policy around that, and trying to get my colleagues to think about that racial equity lens at a time when that's not a popular thing to do. I don't think it was ever popular. But so for me, I was absolutely amazed that that's happening.
Yeah, well, several things there, Brother Don. One is that I do think that what's happening relative to your observation about Representative Moran and Ways and Means and race equity, purpose and filters that she's expecting. And I remember she called me like late at night, beginning of session, and she's like, "Brother Carlos, I want to ask you something. I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think?" You know, and I said, "Man, that is revolutionary. You know, go for it. Yeah, I got your back." And you know what? People get it. People will get it. And they have, and even in bipartisan ways. It doesn't mean that there hasn't been resistance to it. The work that you were doing, Don, at the department, the work that many of us, were trying to do through legislation in the early years, always got categorized as like special work, like the work you do at the margins, special projects, it didn't speak to like, domain work, Well, that's the shift. And what Rena did was to formally validate the important shift of moving from, thinking of these issues in our communities as like special interest issues and special interest communities to being central, our realities and the realities of racism, being central to how government operates, what it does, and what it needs to do.
You've been listening to Counter Stories. I'm Anthony Galloway with crew members Luz Maria Frias and Don Eubanks, with special guest Representative Carlos Mariani. Support for this show is provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For our full conversation, please visit counterstories.com. It's an important distinction, especially for organizations who are wondering, can we do this? Well, our own state legislature has a race equity requirement in the Omnibus Bill Committee and other committees. It sounds like both that committee and your committee and our other committees also operating with that because such a powerful committee has implemented it.
Representative Moran really set the pace. And, if your finance bill, which all the omnibus, K-12 education, agriculture, environment, we're talking billions of dollars. All of them need to go through Ways and Means. And in order to get through Ways and Means, once they get there, they have to answer this question. They have to point to their bill and say, look, in this 300-page document, this is where we address race equity. I got to tell you, man, it's like beautiful. When I sat there, I also serve on the Ways and Means Committee, listening to the agriculture chair, Representative Sundin, older white brother from up north, almost kind of like matter of fact, hey, I work with Representative Vangs on my committee, and here's how we're addressing race equity in agriculture, and laying down in a competent way, not just like, he knows this stuff, he owns it, he's defending it, he's advancing it, and he's a white guy from Greater Minnesota, So we're shifting the culture, we're shifting the psychology, we're shifting the priorities and the expectation. And then the final thing I'll say is that, yeah, it's great that you got Representative Moran, Representative Mariani, Representative Bang, Hollins, et cetera. But we can't do this by ourselves. I mean, this only happens if we're working in tandem with our communities, and our communities are fully engaged in shaping those proposals and pushing for those proposals, leveraging out in the public how they think about this, impacting the public narrative, shifting mindsets, so that we normalize in our broader culture, not just in the legislature, doing the work that's racially equitable.
Representative Mariani, I'm so glad you made that last statement. What I started thinking about as you started talking about the race equity lens that Representative Moran spearheaded, I thought about the Government Alliance on Race and Equity led by Julie Nelson from Seattle 10 years ago. And she was going around the country, including here in St. Paul and in Minneapolis, encouraging legislators to begin to have this race equity lens. And now we're seeing the fruition of that, right? But we shouldn't stop there, because we have policy leaders at the county level. So we've got county commissioners. We have city council members who are also there. And if we begin to set these expectations clearly for all of our elected leaders, as rightly it should be, then we create the movement and the momentum that we need. I want to go deeper into that last statement that you indicated, you know, that this is not possible solely on your own. You need community. And I've always said, you know, it's an inside game and an outside game both that gets us to where we need to be. Help us understand some of the most powerful iterations of that will inspire our listeners.
Okay. Well, one that comes to mind immediately is, back on the investment in those businesses, it was those small business groups from the Asian, Latino, African-American, Somali, indigenous communities. Those groups exist. They may be, you know, a Lake Street Business Group, it may be a statewide American Indian group. Clues, you know, and St. Paul was important, LEDC in the Latino community, et cetera. They worked intersectionally. They worked with each other to be able to lay out the technical ways in which the state can make that kind of investment. So they did a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of here's how you would structure that kind of reinvestment on the part of the state. There might be some of us in the legislature who are business folks or economists. I'm not one of them, you know, so I don't know how to do that work, you know, but we have plenty of talent in our community that does. So much energy gets generated from this because there's hope that's being created. Hope, you all know, hope doesn't just exist. Hope comes from action. You know, it's acting that creates hope. And so with the numbers of legislators of color, indigenous legislators, with the new frames that are happening, with the energy that's coming from communities, there's increased action, which means also increased hope and increased creativity and engagement.
But for Don and Luz as well, who have been in the trenches of these different fights from various perspectives, what are some of the ways that y'all keep it together with all of the fights and so many levels? I'm just curious for all of you.
And I have to say, you know, I'm human, and I want to admit my humanness, because this ain't about us being perfect and being superheroes, you know, none of that stuff. You know, that's mostly nonsense. You know, we're humans. And after several attempts, I basically gave up, you know, and I had the young students, because, you know, it was a big student, you know, led movement. I was just so dismayed, you know, and I was tired of getting beat up, you know, and I was losing all sorts of other things, you know, and oh, man. And the students came in. You know, this many years ago now, the students came in and, you know, hey, you know, a diputado, representative, you know, and I'm like, you know what, brothers and sisters, unless we change who's here, this just ain't going to happen. I'm telling you, you know. And I think back down, I'm horrified at what I told those young people, but it just showed you how dispirited and tired I had become. And those young people, this is the truth, man, you know, they would not leave my office until I made a commitment to fight with them again, you know, and they said and did everything. You know, it's like, you know, we need you, you know, we look up to you. You're our big brother. You know, by the end, it's like, OK, you know. Yeah, you know, and I did it, and I still thought we were going to get beat up. And we probably did that year, but you know what? Eventually we did win. And so for people like me and Rena and others, you know, we have to be in relationship with one another in order to do this work. And that, like any relationship, there are times when you lead and there are times when you follow. And there are many times when you do both at the same time. And so, you know, my quick observation then about your observation is that the way that I have found to do this and keep my humanity is to do it with others, to do it collectively, to do it in community, because it's community and others that feed me, that we feed one another. You know, any other way of doing that, you're setting yourself up. You know, and I don't want to be set up. I don't want to be, you know, horribly beaten. If I'm going to be beaten, you know, I'm going to be beaten along with my brothers and sisters, and we're going to find a way to get victory out of that.
One of the last things I would like to impress on our audience is how important it is for us to make sure we continue to elect representatives like you, who look like us, who represent us. But for us on the ground level, it's to make sure we go and vote.
I agree and want to hold up both of your responses. And what came immediately to mind is the African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Representative Mariani, as a closing question, I'd like to ask you, we know that historically, and it holds true in today as well, it's been difficult to get members from our BIPOC communities to step forward and run for elected office.
Yeah, you know, I always, a lot of us who serve, regardless of, you know, race, you know, at some point or another, we muse, you know, that we wish everyone had an opportunity to do this work. But of course, not everyone can, right? Because it is so incredibly meaningful. And yeah, it's tough and sometimes can be disheartening, but it's also, it can also be incredibly rewarding. And the reward, I would argue, you know, especially for our people, doesn't come from, applying the conventional, you know, knowledge, you know, that you've been certified, you know, with by virtue of privilege or a degree or, you know, professional status or whatever. It comes from applying your experiences in this important space so that it has meaning for so many people. And so it really begins, I think, with, it took me a while, you know, to fully be cognizant of this. It really begins in many ways by appreciating yourself, appreciating your experiences, knowing yourself, knowing those. I don't know how you know that if you don't know who your ancestors are. And if you really don't know who your ancestors are, you are still part of a people, and that people has a history. You know, root yourself there. And yeah, it's great to have a law degree and, you know, whatever, you know, those are important skills. You know, absolutely. But they're not ultimately the most powerful things that people bring into this space. Your authentic experience and the journey that your people and your family have been on is the most important thing that you bring to this space. So, you know, last thing I would say is, you know, you're needed. We need you, man. We need a diverse public servant, including elected public servants in our society, because that's what our society is. It's a multiracial society. It cannot be ruled by only one group of people, and nor should it be. You are needed. There's a role here. You know, reach out to folks like me, these two brothers and the sister, because we're here to help you connect and to work with you to create synergy to make change. So I just really want to be encouraging. And, you know, don't let any of this stuff intimidate you. It's just about you being authentic and bringing your wisdom to important tables where decisions are being made. And you're going to find more and more folks that look like you in those places. So it's going to be an incredibly, increasingly rewarding experience.
Well, Representative Mariani, I really thank you for talking with us. We could go on for a while, and I've learned so much just in talking here. And something that you said stands out to me. You know, I at the Center for the African Diaspora, we focus a lot on helping youth understand the principle of the idea of Sankofa, right? Looking at who we were, who we are, and who we want to be. And by getting to the crux of that, you know, and being grounded and rooted in your identity, we can go, it carries so much and it does so much. And I love that you said, I don't know how you can get down that path or do that work without knowing who your ancestors are. This is essential. And I think, you know, we have to demonstrate. I think you've demonstrated this both in the Minnesota Educational Equity Partnership, but also as a representative, that we face our history, the good, the bad, the ugly, the awkward, in all of it. But by doing so, that's how we get better, not by dismissing it or pushing it against the side or assuming that there's a quote unquote normalcy for that is really only normal for a particular group of folks, and everybody else gets to try to figure out how to fit in or not. But I think that's essential, and that's going to stick with me quite a bit, because what you're asking and what you share with us about what Representative Moran has put forward, you know, as a gauntlet dropped into the legislature, that you must account for the inequities that are connected to our history, our past, our present, and how we are going to change it for the future. That's essentially what's being asked. And having to answer the question, how is race equity being addressed? Because the disparities, the predictability of the disparate outcomes in our state are glaring. The fact that we battle Mississippi in many of our disparity data is huge. And so I really thank you for bringing that front and foremost in. And I look forward to continuing our series as we engage with representatives of color in the state of Minnesota, because I don't think it's a perspective that's being explored, and the experiences of them are being explored enough. This has been Counter Stories. I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at Dendros Group and executive director of Arts Us.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, deputy attorney general with the state of Minnesota. Any opinions and comments are strictly my own and should not be imputed to my employer.
I'm Don Eubanks, recently retired from Metropolitan State University, cultural consultant and associate of Dendros Group.
Representative Carlos Mariani Rosa, been a privilege to be part of this conversation. This is important work that's happening right here, right now. Thank you for the opportunity.
This program is a co-production of the Counter Stories crew, the Other Media Group, and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.